resource for a social enterprise. In this chapter, we will learn about the qualities of employees in a social enterprise, how important it is to get the right people, the human resource management strategy, job description of an employee in a social enterprise, and how does one conduct a good job interview to make a good recruitment decision. One of the greatest challenges facing any organization, be it profit or not-for-profit, is to build their human resource. This same challenge is being faced by the social enterprises as well. Working with diverse stakeholders requires personal capacities, abilities, and talents that need to be developed over time, so that as the organization acquires experience, these skills are transferred to all employees, and over a period of time, these experiences become organizational capacities. A research done on social businesses demonstrates that organizations which make good use of contributions from personnel and establish long-term relationships with their employees achieve a high level of performance in the management of their human resources. Thus, it is in the organization's interest to cultivate their employees and their capabilities to keep their attrition rate as low as possible. So, what are the qualities of employees needed in a social enterprise? These people are not fueled by a desire to build a fortune. As we have seen earlier too, social entrepreneurs need a strong ethical impetus if they are to create businesses that put society before profit. Sure, individuals looking to start a social enterprise need to treat it like a business. But if they are fueled purely by profit and the desire to build a fortune from their venture, the cracks will soon start to show. Social entrepreneurs, therefore, should not forget their mission, that is, the social good which they are hoping to achieve through their social enterprise. Let us take an example of Help Us Green. Disturbed by the monumental temple waste problem in India, Ankit Agarwal and Karan Rastogi founded Help Us Green, which recycles floral waste from the temples of India. Till date, they have recycled over 11,000 metric tons of floral waste. Their enterprise is a profit-making enterprise, but maximizing profits is not their mission. Their mission is to help the river Ganges from being a dumping ground of floral waste. So social entrepreneurs are also not afraid to work in obscurity, that is, non-recognition. Starting any kind of business involves developing ideas in relative obscurity. If one is unwilling to work in this, the social space is definitely not for them. Building a social enterprise, students, you need to remember, can often be a lonely endeavor. The most successful social entrepreneurs cross boundaries. They will work on ideas that mix different experiences, ethics, backgrounds, and working cultures in ways few traditional businesses would dare approach. Brilliant social entrepreneurs want to break free, to forge their own paths and not be bound by old processes or predefined ways of doing business. Let us continue with the same example of Help Us Green. Apart from recycling floral waste, the organization is helping rid another social problem in our country. That is, it employs women who were earlier manual scavengers, and thereby they are helping society rid another social problem of manual scavengers. Not only that, they are improving the lives of these women and the families forever. Next, social entrepreneurs also don't care who gets the credit. For a social entrepreneur, achievement of social outcome is the ultimate mission. So, even if a part-time employee comes up with an idea that can transform the social enterprise, he or she will be put into the spotlight, and it will be ensured that the history books tell the correct story of his or her contribution to the enterprise. Most important, they spot early warning signs and are not scared to make changes. The best made business plans may fail. Hence, the ability to make changes when problems emerge is vital. Even if that means going back to the drawing board and restarting all over again. So, social entrepreneurs need the ability to spot the early warning signs of any negative side effects before they become a real problem. Getting the right people, this is one of the most critical success factors of an organization, and I'm sure all of you would agree to this. During a survey, when over 250 nonprofit leaders were asked to describe the biggest mistake they had made in their social business, the most prevalent answer was hiring the wrong people. And hence, the first step in any organizational success is getting the right people on the bus. But how does an organization achieve this? How does one determine who is the right candidate for the job and for the organization? Let us see the steps for hiring the right people. First, map out a long-term hiring strategy. Start with your strategic growth plan and use it carefully. Consider your personal needs, not only in the present or not only for the next 4 to 5 months, not only for the next 6 months or 1 year, but for several years to come. This will give you the lead time to identify superior talent and hire them at the right time, thus assuring you have the right skills and the right personnel of people at the right time. Second, hire senior leadership early. It is necessary to hire senior leadership personnel, such as your CFO, that is the Chief Financial Officer, the Director of Technology, your head HR, as fast as possible and at earlier stage of growth. This is because hiring of these key personnel will free up a leader's time to focus business critical issues like strategic planning, fundraising, etc., which will propel faster growth for the organization. Third, test the skills in action. In the traditional way of interviewing, the interviewer relies on what the candidate tells about his skills and capabilities. Rather than relying on this method of interviewing, one can ask candidates to produce some work, such as a proposal for a fundraising strategy, or ask the candidate to make a presentation to your management team. How is this beneficial? This will allow you not only to evaluate the actual quality of your work and their work, but also tap the expertise of your team in making the decision of hiring the right candidate. Fourth step, ask key questions. A good fit involves not only skills, but whether a candidate will thrive within your culture. This is because no matter how good a candidate is, if his values do not match with the culture of your organization, he or she will not be a good fit. Many leaders always ask a particular question that helps them evaluate what their candidates value. For example, a leading crowdfunding organization asks every candidate this question: how many bad days a year do you have? And this helps them to sort through candidates who tend to be over-optimistic. Fifth and final step, fire quickly. This is extremely important because despite your best intentions, mistakes are inevitable, and you may end up hiring a candidate who is not a good fit. You must recognize them and correct them swiftly. This is a hard truth for many non-profit leaders. But keep in mind that poor performers put an undue burden on the rest of your team, who must compensate for their shortfalls. Hence, quick action must be taken against those who are not recognized a good fit. The quicker the action, the less painful is the outcome for everyone. Let us now learn about the human resource management strategy. Recruiting for staff or volunteers. Be clear on the role required. Is it an employee, a volunteer, self-employed or casual worker that you're looking out for? This depends on the nature of your organization. Some organizations run purely on volunteers, some on full-time employees. So you need to decide which recruitment is the best for your organization. Embrace the gig economy. Gig economy is a temporary work system based on a short-term relationship between workers and companies. Workers perform gigs, that is, in which they are employed for a specific task or time. Because there are areas of your business that simply don't require someone to be in the office every day of the week or are likely to exist only fleetingly. At such times, an external freelancer doing a gig might be the best option. Understanding the mindset of the millennials. According to a study, 44% of millennials would rather leave their current employer because of issues around work-life balance and employer flexibility. This means that as a business looking for fresh talent, your social enterprise needs to show a desire to invest in each and every individual. And that is why you should think about leadership skill development, flexible working options, and developing a culture that is at ease with the millennials and with the modern workforce. Recruitment. Take advantage of new recruitment tools. LinkedIn. It's a perfect and a prime example of a vibrant community in which you can find the best people for your social enterprise. Facebook, Twitter, and industry-related forums are also great hunting grounds. Job seekers know how important it is to build and maintain personal brands online. And their activity on social media should offer you the perfect starting point when discovering potential candidates. Referral system. Many of you may actually be aware of this. Employee referral is an internal recruitment method employed by organizations to identify potential candidates from their existing employees' social networks. An employee referral scheme encourages a company's existing employees to select and recruit suitable candidates from their social networks. Under the referral scheme, as an incentive, a fixed amount can be paid to the employees if their referred candidates are hired and complete a minimum period of time in the organization. Let us now see what is a good job description of an employee in a social enterprise. What are the skills and qualifications required? If you see this list, and we will read out each one, it is more or less the same for any other enterprise. A person who can handle pressure, is objective, maintains confidentiality, is good in organization and planning, has good reporting skills, is persistent, proactive, and has good listening skills, has good verbal communication, and maintains good client relationships. In terms of job responsibilities, helping clients in assessing the situation and setting goals, making on-site visits for ongoing programs, establishing courses of action for clients' projects by exploring various options, introducing the clients and helping them get access to relevant agencies and community resources, These are all the responsibilities of an employee in a social enterprise. Some more: maintaining documentation of the client's projects, conducting monitoring and evaluation of the projects. We have seen in earlier chapters how important this is, that is monitoring and evaluation of the project for it to be a good success. Ensuring compliance to federal, state, local legal requirements. This is extremely important, because no matter how good your social business plan, if it does not meet the local legal requirements, it is bound not to take off. Maintaining confidentiality of the client's projects, and most importantly, contributing as a team member for the entire project and accomplishing goals and targets within timelines. So all these would be the job responsibilities. Stop. Now, let us see the model questions which should be typically asked to a candidate in order to make a good recruitment decision. What is your idea about a social enterprise? In what way is it different from a traditional enterprise? These kind of questions will help you understand the candidate's viewpoints, his culture, his values, and what he thinks of working for a social enterprise. You can ask him, why do you want to make a career in social enterprise and not in any other regular for-profit organization? What wants you make to work for our company, which is a social enterprise? What do you think has been your greatest achievement in your career so far? If the candidate mentions any of his social activities that he has done, social meaning something that is for the community or across the nation, any social work that he has done, this will give you some idea of his cultural leanings. Ask him or her, give me an assessment of your strengths. How do you envisage the future? What would you like to be in 10 years' time? This question will help you understand the candidate's mindset in terms of his aspirations, in terms of his ambitions. Next set of questions. Why do you think you would be good at this job in a social enterprise? At our social enterprise, we provide services to a wide range of businesses. Which industry or business type do you have the most experience with? Because for your enterprise, you also need a mix of the freshers and the experienced people. So if you have an industry, if you are in an industry in which the candidate already has good experience, he or she may be a very good fit for your company. You could also try asking him or her, we have a wide range of services at our social enterprise. Have you ever used any of our services? Many of the management and higher level roles with our social enterprise require a degree in business or similar. Please walk me through your post-secondary education. Due to the nature of our social enterprise and services, we may ask you to give us a complete background check. Are you willing to comply? This is very, very important, because of late, all organizations do not take in employees unless doing the necessary background check and having a necessary certificate of background check from the earlier organization that that person has worked for. Most crucial, since the person is coming to work for your social enterprise, you need to ask the candidate, what are the fundamental differences between a social and for-profit founders? Is there any difference? What are the fundamental differences in the people who go to work for a social versus for-profit startup? And therefore, what kind of a person are you? In the for-profit world, you keep score with sales revenue. How will you keep score in the not-for-profit world? Another very relevant question. Why are you getting attracted in a social enterprise when there aren't enough high salaries and options? And this can actually be very revealing. It should not be that the candidate has not been able to get other jobs and that is why he's coming here. it should necessarily, you are looking out for a candidate who has the values and he wants to work for a social organization, and therefore he does not mind working on lower salaries. It should not be that he's coming to your organization because he's not good enough for the other for-profit organizations. Then you could ask him generic questions. What could the government or society do to encourage more social entrepreneurship? In your opinion, are you a good volunteer or a good worker or a good self-employed person? What are your ambitions in life? How long would you like to work in a social enterprise? Is it just for some time that the person wants to experiment with the social work? Or is it that he wants to make a lifelong commitment to social enterprises? And as for the candidate's opinion, as an employee in a social enterprise, what should his or her daily routine be? After getting satisfactory replies to all such questions, you need to take the following steps. Decide on a salary which is commensurate with the employee's experience, his qualifications. Do you have, as an organization, are you able to fund that salary? Are you able to meet the aspiration of the candidate and his expectations? Write up a contract of employment. It must outline the terms and conditions of employment and comply with the employment legislation. You need to understand your responsibility as an employer, also for pension provision. Next, ensure you have essential HR policies in place so that you can manage fairly and consistently. Also, make sure there is a proper understanding of equality issues, not only from the organization's point of view, but also from the candidate's point of view. Knowing which characteristics are protected by legislation, example, gender, disability, sexual orientation, etc., and developing your HR policies to reflect this. With this, we come to an end on the chapter on HR. Thank you.